are back. I am Jennifer Harrison, host of Between the Lines and Harrison Hits Back right here on LI News Radio. I am also the founder of Victims Rights New York, which is a political action committee dedicated to giving victims a voice in politics, as well as restoring common sense in government, which is seriously lacking these days. And I really want to thank Holiday Productions, which is a great company, also giving back to the community in so many different ways. So please check them out on Facebook under Holiday Productions or call 631-461-7777. Joining us again tonight is Mike Simonelli, who is a veteran that served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He is a sergeant of arms at Suffolk County PBA and the author of Justified Deadly Force and the Myth of Systemic Racism. Mike, before the break, we were discussing the Buffalo shooting. And that while our hearts are so broken, we, you know, everybody agrees on this.
Absolutely.
It is also extremely tragic to watch pandering politicians jump up and use this as a tool to further divide us.
Right.
I mean, Joe Biden went to Buffalo. You mentioned before he didn't go to Waukesha when so many were injured during a Christmas parade.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't travel to Brooklyn when a black nationalist shot up a subway station in a planned attack that only by the grace of God had no fatalities. And is Joe Biden really the person who should be attending something like this, talking about white supremacy and vilifying anybody who benefits from any kind of hateful speech, when Joe Biden is the one who eulogized Robert Byrd, who was very high up in the KKK?
Right. How quickly we forget their misdeeds, right?
I don't forget.
No. Well, they forget. They seem to think that anything they did in the past doesn't matter because they're Democrats and the media won't hold them to account for it. You know, or his miscues. I think he said something about you can't walk into a 7-Eleven without hitting an Indian or something. And then the things he had said when President Obama, he was running with him. Just the first well-dressed, well-spoken black man or something. Just ridiculously racist things that came out of his mouth. And the stupid things that he said outside of that, like saying the police should shoot people's legs when Jacob Blake was in the hospital after being justifiably shot because he was going for a knife or he had a knife and he was about to drive off with young children in the car, that the mother was frantic, you know, he's going to kidnap them.
Right.
What does Joe Biden do? He interjects himself in that because, you know, it's part of their agenda. It looks like, oh, police shoot a black person. Must be police wrong. The black person who's a criminal who had just sexually assaulted her, I think, a week prior. He must be right. Yeah.
Right. Instead of asking for calm and waiting for the investigation to be complete and all of the facts to be present, he jumped to the conclusion
and participated
in the political grandstanding that we're talking about.
Yep.
Kathy Hochul had a big press conference today, actually like maybe about an hour before we came in here, announcing a domestic terrorism unit and more programs to end gun violence, but she failed to fix the part of bail reform that protects those that make terroristic threats. She spoke about the hard working people of the community that have been affected by this tragedy, but still the budget that she just worked on and had passed only reimburses families of murder victims for $6,000 for a funeral, and we all know that funerals cost a lot more than that. The average funeral is about $12,000.
Right.
And Ray Tierney, our Suffolk County District Attorney, asked her for funding for ShotSpotter technology, you know, being that this is a gun violence issue, right? They all want to stop gun violence.
Right.
But we see an uptick in gun crimes here in Suffolk County, as you know more than anybody. But instead, she's giving that money to the Buffalo Bills.
Why would she be giving it to the Buffalo Bills? Does her husband have something to do with the Buffalo Bills team or something like that?
This is what happens when your state is run by an incompetent, corrupt criminal enterprise, Mike. You know that, and I know that. And as we discussed before, there are so many issues that are surrounding this case that could help prevent further tragedies that are being ignored while they pursue and push a false narrative. And we're being distracted from these issues. We have crime, we have fentanyl. You want to talk about gun control and gun violence. How do we prevent gun violence when we have guns and God knows what else coming in from the border? I mean, we have way too many elected officials that still want to defund and prosecute or vilify the police. We have Ukraine, Afghanistan, the pandemic, shutdowns, which Some of that might have led to this incident we're hearing.
Absolutely, right.
Silencing free speech and political opponents. Now families can't even get formula for their babies, but let's distract with this issue, right? As many issues as we can, deny and deflect to avoid accountability. But how many hits can we take and where do you see this ending?
I see this ending when we elect different people, when you get real conservatives in there, not rhinos, not Democrats, but real conservatives, real Republicans. So that's the only way it's going to end. And I think Lee Zeldin is the last hope for New York. If he doesn't win, like, I think New York City is getting so bad that the people hopefully will wake up and realize, hey, we really have to change things. Because just today, Manhattan Institute came out with a study on the 2020 homicides. That was the biggest single spike in history that they've been keeping records of homicide increases. I think it was around 30%. And what they found was counties that had higher GOP registered voters had lower spikes in the homicide. And they also had lower rates of homicide before that. So it does make a difference. These policies, defund the police, are being pushed by Democrats. It was Democrat cities that looked like third world hellholes. In Seattle, they had the chop zone. I think Portland had some spots. Even in Georgia, after the Rayshard Brooks, his shooting, he tried to tase the mm-hmm. cop. They did some no-go zones, not letting police or anybody else in there. It's like a third world country where other minorities ended up getting killed while it was under the control of not just gangs.
Right.
Really.
It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, they're, I call them the Merry Band of Idiots in Albany. And we actually had on Twitter today, Senator Meary, who is probably the leader of the Merry Band of Idiots in Albany, okay, talking about white supremacy. And if you're going to come to our communities, don't come unless you have an axe to chop that tree. Oh, white supremacy comes in strange fruits of a tree. And if you're going to come to our community, don't come unless you have an axe to chop that tree down. Well, I just wonder, Senator Meary, Do the strange fruits of white supremacy look like elected officials that are pushing for policies and passing legislation that increase crime, release repeat violent offenders and recidivists into black communities, increasing crime in black communities, and committing what's called by some of these members of black communities a genocide?
Right. Crime, homicide in America is mostly intra-racial. So black people kill black people, white people kill white people. So when you are being soft on violent criminals, if they're black and you're letting them back into their community, they're going to victimize black people. So you're not doing them any favor.
And drive away black businesses, black owned
Absolutely,
businesses.
Right. Yes. And you see that with the rioting and the looting. That's what happens. But I'd like to know from all these politicians and talking heads, when they talk about America being so white supremacist, what do they know that the 250,000 mostly black and brown people that sneak into our country every month don't know? Because they're running from actual oppression, from actual police violence, from actual just danger, the hellhole that they tried to say America is now. And obviously it's not, because humans are very smart. They have a very strong survival instinct. Those people are not going to risk their lives to make a journey to come here if this is a dangerous place because they're black or brown.
But some of them are coming to these communities that are being inadvertently affected by these policies, and they're complaining that they made this dangerous journey, even with their children, and now they're not safe here.
Case
in
point.
Where they thought was the safest place in the world.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And you know what? You said, how's this going to end? And I said, when different people get elected? Well, it's also going to be when they have polling that shows that these immigrants that are coming here illegally, they're not going to vote Democrat.
No, they're going to vote conservative.
Right. If we ever gave them the chance, which I don't agree with giving illegal people that right. But that would be the only way that the Dems would stop this.
Wouldn't that be ironic?
Right. Exactly.
Talk about replacement. I don't want to say that. So now let's talk about, because we said that they blamed Tucker Carlson for all of this too, and replacement theory and whatnot. But we know that a huge part of the problem is the media and their hypocrisy. You know, we have so-called journalists who do not even attempt to hide their bias.
No.
And everyone focuses on CNN, MSNBC, or even Fox on the right.
Right.
While right here in New York, we have reporters like Errol Lewis from Spectrum, who is well-known and, you know, he's well-liked. He's pretty esteemed. Mm. amongst anyone who follows New York State, New York City politics. But Errol Lewis perpetuates lies about progressive agendas and politicians, and, you know, in the way of support of people like Alvin Bragg, and supports other progressives that implement policies and the laws that we talked about that destroy minority communities. Now, Errol Lewis gets on his soapbox every chance that he gets to promote ending mass incarceration through blanket release mandates like bail reform, less is more, which is proving to be even deadlier than bail reform, right. Pushing for elder parole, which would release serial killers like the Son of Sam. He's always talking about rehabilitation, okay?
Right.
Which is another issue, because rehabilitation simply does not exist in this state. We incarcerate and then we release, but that's a subject for a different show. As one of the biggest believers in this state for rehabilitation and second chances, Errol Lewis posted on social media information regarding prior arrests of one of my good friends, Sid Rosenberg, who is a radio host, a well-known and very popular radio host, during his darkest days battling addiction. Now, why would Errol Lewis, in the media, with all of his beliefs of rehabilitation and second chances, go after other personalities like Sid Rosenberg by posting this history of addiction? Meanwhile, Sid is in recovery for a very long time, is a very productive member of society, and probably one of the nicest guys that you'll ever meet, by the way. And this is the kind of thing that hopefully it won't, but that could really set somebody back battling this disease into a relapse.
Right.
And Errol Lewis knows this. This goes way too far. Just because Sid has a history, everybody has a past and a history and things that we're not proud of. But Sid believes that violent offenders should be behind bars. That does not warrant bringing up his past or his battle with addiction, especially when Errol Lewis is a supporter of clean slate and second chances that would allow child abusers, Mike, and murderers to pretend that they never committed such crimes. But these kinds of people with this kind of platform see absolutely nothing wrong with what they do.
No. Well, he's a complete hypocrite. He's a phony. How do you say that it's okay for violent criminals, child molesters, abusers to be given a second chance and act as if it never happened, this clean slate? But you're going to call somebody out on their addiction, which many people say is a mental health issue. That's absolutely, it's disgusting, hypocrisy. And it shows that the left is really not the party of kindness and caring that they propose to be. Just like how they act like they're the party of the black people, when in fact they were the ones that were always behind slavery and fought against the ending of it and the equal rights as well. They just co-opted the movement once they saw that was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And just like I mentioned before, we saw Joe Biden come to Buffalo and jump on this bandwagon and use victims to, you know, perpetuate some kind of agenda and narrative, which is disgusting as well. But he was the one that wrote the 1994 crime bill, resulting in a lot of mass incarceration. And now all of a sudden, his criminal justice agenda reflects and mirrors every example of what not to do that we're seeing here in New York and in every Democrat run city and state across the country.
Exactly. And that's why their people are fleeing. And I think California and New York have lost around 300,000 people each. And those people are going to red states. They're going to Colorado, to Florida, to places where the law is respected, the police are asked to do their job, given the ability to do their job, and people feel safe. You know, if you don't have safety and security, you don't have anything. And very quickly, we see how society devolves into absolute chaos, as we saw in the summer of love, 2020. And there's long-lasting ramifications from that. And the party that tries to say they're for the minorities, well, in that increase that I spoke of in the homicides in 2020, that study from Manhattan Institute showed that the increase wasn't equal across races. That 30% across the country, well, it was a 34% increase for black people getting killed, and it was 19% for non-white, non-Hispanic whites. So the people that they act like they're trying to do favors for with this defund the police movement, all these reforms, they're getting victimized even more.
Yeah. And, you know, again, it reverts back to all of these policies that these people, you know, Kathy Hochul got on a pedestal today and announced that there's going to be a revampment, or I think she tried to announce that a new unit, but we found out from Jared Gandolfo that it actually already existed, and what the domestic terrorism unit in New York State was established in 2020, but never utilized.
Right.
So, you know, her big announcement wasn't really anything that's new.
Right.
And then, you know, and to push for more gun legislation to prevent gun violence. But if you look at the statistics too, I mean, there's tons of gang violence in Buffalo, in Rochester, right, in Troy. We're seeing it across the state. In New York City, we're seeing it. Here in Suffolk County, we're seeing it,
right,
Mike. So, I mean, you know, how is more gun legislation going to prevent the illegal guns and the people that are committing the crimes with them?
It's not. The only way you're going to stop it is putting those people that commit the crimes in jail so they can't come out and do it again. I can't tell you how many cops talk to me and tell me their frustrations of how they're locking legitimate bad guys up on gun collars, and next day, a couple days later, they see that person out. Same thing with felony drugs that these people are selling and also having guns, and they're getting out within days and they're just doing it again. Like, what are you talking about? There is no accountability. It's absolutely disgusting. And then if the cop, God forbid, has to use some kind of force, somebody gets it on camera, they make an allegation, then that, you know, that cop is going to be suspended, being brought through the ringer. Everything is backwards right now.
It is backwards. And I just want to remind everybody that Kathy Hochul, you know, made a big stink about her 10-point plan that she wanted to put in the budget to address these issues and fix the crime increase in New York State. And none of them really were implemented in the budget. The, you know, there were minor fixes to bail reform, but they're not going to do anything to address any of these issues.
No, nothing to address the root causes of the inner city violence. Because when you talk about the shootings that we see in New York City and the same thing in Chicago, 90% of those shootings are black or brown people on black or brown. So if you want to stop it, you need to focus on what are those root causes. Now, white supremacy is the big catchword for them. I know in her first press conference on this shooting, which is absolutely disgusting tragedy, and I hope he gets the death sentence, she must have said white supremacist 30 times. I think, okay, we get it. We get what his motive was, what his, you know, his agenda, what he said. But
isn't she kind of doing his evil work for him? Aren't they all kind of doing his evil work for him by pushing this hate and division even further? Like, to me, I don't think, yes, we should let people know why he did this, but right, to me, we shouldn't mention his name. We shouldn't mention his agenda, anything about his manifesto. Just let him rot in jail.
Well, what they're doing is they're perpetuating the race war that they want. And you have low information people and mentally ill people. 5% of the American population in 2020 had a serious mental illness. That's serious. So just regular mental illness was about 20%. So 5%, that's about 14 million people. So think of all those people that are very susceptible to hearing the wrong thing from somebody in power, seeing it in a paper. They'll catch on to it and be like, you know what? I'm going to get revenge for that.
Right. Like he did.
Like he did, like the Mika Xavier Johnson who shot those five cops. He said while they were negotiating, trying to get him to surrender, he said, I want to kill black people, especially, I want to kill white people,
right,
especially white officers.
It's insane. And now, you know, before we got here, we were talking and I sent you a picture of the, you know, the graphics of the 2020 mass shooters. And right, I'm going to post this on the Between the Lines Facebook page. They don't all look like white supremacists to me.
They could be identifying as white supremacists.
Oh, jeez. That's another show again, Mike. We're not going to get into that right now.
Okay.
But I mean, it's a pretty diverse group of people.
Right.
There are a lot of people on there. A lot of them are black and brown.
Right.
Some of them are white. But I just, you know, this has to stop. And we all need to unite and do our research and our due diligence and not just, you know, listen to everything, every headline that we hear or see on the media, because this is getting absolutely ridiculous.
Right. Well, we're being led by evil people and idiots. And until we can change that.
The merry band of idiots.
You're right. The merry band of idiots. Until we can change that, then nothing good is going to happen. And the people need to rise up within their communities and elect different people. They need to see the truth and you know, what they're being fed is a lie.
Yeah, and research independent journalists, because I just want you to reiterate the statistics of the, you know, the myth of systemic racism that the media portrayed.
It was 132 stories about blacks shot by the police compared to one about whites shot by the police in 4 years, front page headlines of USA Today. While whites are shot at a rate of 2 to 1 compared to blacks. So just think about that. Every story was about a black person and they threw one white person into it.
Right. Michael, thank you for joining us tonight. Retired soldier, fought in Afghanistan and Iraq, retired police officer, now the sergeant of arms at the Suffolk County PBA, and the author of Justified Deadly Force and the Myth of Systemic Racism. Mike, tell everybody again where they can find your book, please.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. JDFinformation.com.
And what can people do? Can they look you up anywhere to find out more information?
Yeah, they can just Google me. The book will come up, Justified Deadly Force, Mike Simonelli. And you get on that website. It's kept updated, and you can learn a lot.
Awesome. Thank you again for joining me tonight. I will be back with you all next week on Between the Lines from 6 to 7 p.m., hopefully not hitting traffic and not pollen infested. Make sure you follow our Facebook page and keep checking the website victimsrightsnypac.com to stay up to date on all these issues or donate. Thank you, and I cannot wait to talk to you again next week or hopefully soon in another time slot as well.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.